This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's not even a fan club Friday, but Bink's opening up drinks. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Although that might be an
energy drink. I don't know.
Okay.
Looks like, hey,
which, a lot of mock to talk for the next couple of hours.
Yeah, we're going to get to some mocks and everything.
We talk mocks on the show.
We
talk
do that.
Mock.
We do. You know, we've been talking all day about the upcoming draft. We've been talking about golf, the Masters tomorrow. Are you a Masters guy?
I do. I like it. Having a Masters party. Pimento cheese sandwiches.
You're having
the
one.
We're doing the Masters
See,
menu.
See, pimento cheese.
You ordered like the box from? Like they sell
look at the menu for it. You know, like the $3 club. We're not going to charge for it, of course. But
no, but you can like buy stuff directly from the Masters, like those the dips and the sandwiches and the chips.
This is straight from Hy-Vee.
Mayonnaise and cheese in a spread.
You know what? Yeah, I do need one other item for this said party.
What do you need?
From Drew. Do you have any of that blue chew you were going to give me?
What? Different kind of party.
Take oh no. Oh yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you normally host parties? Do you host parties like that, Bing?
But Drew said, if I have any left over, I'll give you some. I was like, all right, let's go.
Well, Drew's taking tomorrow off. At one point, we thought it was just to use Blue Chew, but now it might be to train for a golf tournament.
I was planning on going golfing.
See, he's going golfing anyway. You might want to change the course you're going
to. Here's the thing, Drew. Have you ever played from the pro tees? Or do you like still play from the ladies' tees?
I typically play from not the tips, but like not like the black or the blue or the gold, but
start
the blues.
Doing that before you talk your smack.
Well, again, I've never trained to play in a qualifying event, so this would obviously be a change.
You get a chance to change.
Drew,
you're gonna go as far back as they'll let you at any of these courses.
Tear up some miniature golf courses.
The furthest course I've ever played, I did 7,100 yards.
Okay. That's pretty far. That's probably comparable to whatever this is going to be.
It's no Alex Ovechkin hitting a hole in one his first time out golfing, right? After taking five.
I'm all in on this. Drew, you know what?
Yeah, I'm all the way in.
All in on this, you know? I'm going to fully support you during this qualifier.
Chew it and do it.
All right, Binkley.
We can get a Blue Chew polo.
Drew should rock the Blue Chew polo. Oh, yeah.
Drew. Let's talk.
His shirt just says chew it and do it.
Drew it and do it in his case.
Drew it.
Yes, I like that.
That's what the text line always says. Mm-hmm. Let's text start a little draft.
By the way, text line yesterday said that 90% of people have not heard of Mel Kiper.
One of these times.
No, this is a draft quote. I got a text that 90% of people have never heard of Mel Kiper. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
This is crazy, honestly.
This is not The Wolf. It's not KMBZ. This is Sixth Sports, but 96.5 The Fan. They've heard of Mel Kiper, so stop it.
I would think so, but also I don't think everybody follows football the way we follow football, so I don't want to say for sure.
Well, this town's crazed about football.
I imagine we'll get to your mock draft from the Character Concerns podcast here shortly. We'll just anticipate at some point a mock draft sounder will hit the airwaves. Earlier, though, we gave our draft crushes. Derek Harmon was one already professed crush. I put that one out on the street.
That.
We can talk about that. I've added one. Colston Loveland has made my new list. I think he's just as good as Ty Warren. I think he'll be just as good in the league as Ty Warren.
That's what we said, Big.
I think he's going to be just as good in the league as Ty Warren.
That's like compared to somebody to Brock Bowers. It's like compared to somebody to Kelsey.
We had the same reaction.
They're both drafted. drafted players are going to be 15 picks apart, 20
He's
picks apart.
Why is
it so crazy?
Unicorn at the position. A unicorn.
That's what everyone says about that. That's what they said about Kyle Pitts. That wasn't right.
You don't need a tight end, a safety, or an Ohio State tackle in the first round.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Joshua Simmons, his name comes up all the time.
All the time.
At 31.
Mel Kiper put him out yesterday. Prisco did the same thing.
I don't get, like, for the Chiefs situation, I think so many people just look at the Super Bowl and they just assume that, like, they're completely screwed and they have to take a tackle. And while they don't have 3-year answers at left or right tackle currently, I don't think, unless you think Jalen Moore ends up, you know, playing above his ceiling, perhaps, that we think he has, and he can end up being a long-term option as well. I just don't get the tackle, unless you believe that the tackle class, you tell me, Bink, is not good, that maybe he's the last chance to draft a tackle in the draft that can actually have an impact. Because otherwise, Joshua Simmons, it just seems like you're going to draft him in the first round and just he's going to sit on the bench all year?
No, he is. And most of the guys at the end of the first round, they're right tackles or guards. That's exactly where they go. Matter of fact, the best offensive lineman in this draft is Mimbu from Missouri.
And he's a right tackle.
And he's a right tackle that could play guard as well. But that's what's going to happen. I think Matt Mellor even said, three of the top five tackles will be
or guards. Will, be guards. Yeah,
Will Campbell from LSU is considered one of the best tackles in the draft. Short arms. Remember, they all have short arms. But they magically grew an inch when he did his pro day. Magically.
So let me ask you about the Ohio State thing. We've all talked about it. Brett Veach made the comment multiple years ago about questioning pro day numbers and stuff like that of Ohio State. Is that gotten overblown now? That I know they've never drafted an Ohio State player, but obviously Ohio State has very talented players that come out of there and do have good NFL careers. Yeah. So what is it truly just a flippant comment that Veach made and it's just been a coincidence? And because as Drew even pointed out to us, he's like, even if you think the numbers are fudged at the pro days, don't you have your own scouts at these pro days that can do their own timing and judge for themselves? Why is this overblown now? And it's a fun thing to say that they'll never take an Ohio State player.
I think it's getting overblown because evaluation's gotten crazy, whether it's the combine, the pro days. Look at Austin Jente. He ran pylons at his pro day, but no 40 time or anything else. Travis Hunter, same thing. He didn't run the 40.
Yeah, that dude is just Colorado jacked pro day. Talking about Jente.
Because they weren't even supposed to have a pro day because that was the Big 12 pro day, but that Colorado had their own. But Ohio State defensive tackle Tyleek Williams. A lot of teams are looking at him. The Chiefs are not one mentioned. And this is a guy that could go at the end of the first round. Isn't it interesting? I think first rounders, you're more skeptical. But a Travion Henderson, Kinshon Judkins, you know, guys of that caliber, maybe Jack Sawyer, guys like that aren't first rounders, could they possibly take a stab on those guys? I think so. They did bring an Ohio State guy in for a top 30 visit, but like Ohio State's pro day, they weren't there. And I know they throw smoke screens, whatever, but when you're sitting at 31, you don't throw smoke screens.
They're one of the five best programs in the country. You can't just eliminate them from your draft board. I don't think it's as firm as we make it
seem. Maybe they had a scout there or something, but the GM, head coach, none of the important people were at it that they mentioned. But you got to protect Mahomes. And here's the thing. How much fear do you want? Because let's be honest. The offensive line is going to be same or worse than last year. There's no denying that. Juwan Taylor, he's back. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about him. Trey Smith, like him, he's going to be your right guard. Creed Humphrey is your center, right? Well, what's different at this point? Your left guard was Joe Tooney.
Yeah, it's a downgrade, you're going to downgrade.
He didn't make a great tackle because of the arms, and obviously he's playing that position.
You don't think there's a chance left tackle is an upgrade?
It could.
But downgrade probably at left guard, in my opinion. Left tackle, but worse at left guard.
I don't care who you get at left guard, they're not going to be Joe Tooney.
Sure, I agree with that.
And then left tackle could be an upgrade. And again, Andy Reid went out of his comfort zone because his arms aren't quite the 34 inches that he prefers that Jalen Moore has, so he has bent a little bit from that 34 and a quarter for Jalen Moore. So, yes, that could work out. And he's a guy that's been in the NFL, obviously, behind Trent Williams. But you got to trust – Mahomes needs the time, man. He's got to have that trust factor. And to put a rookie out there with this team, don't think that's fair. I don't think guys like Kelsey that's on his last legs would go for that. Or I just don't think they'd go for it.
If I told you they drafted – any tackle at 31, whether it's Simmons or at 31, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that they plan on that player being a right tackle next season, like 2026? Does it tell you? What does that tell you?
Another starting guard this year?
It could if a guy they really like fell, like Kelvin Banks or somebody like that from Texas fell. I could see him maybe doing it, but there's so many other needs they need. But it's what they do. It speaks volumes. It's like when they went out and traded the Ravens of all teams for Orlando Brown. And they got pick 58, which turned into Nick Bolton. That was a smooth trade for the Chiefs because that was a rival. And he took their left tackle in Orlando Brown. Say what you want about him, but they need a left tackle. You know why? everybody's mock was Sam Cosmi, Liam Eichenberg, Alex Leatherwood. It was all these tackles the Chiefs said,
I didn't want any of those guys.
We'll make a trade for Orlando Brown because they weren't proven and you didn't trust them in there with Mahomes. They did this before. I think they'll do it again.
Who do you think is the best? Oh, man, I was going to ask you the best fit at left tackle is.
Is that
in the first three rounds of the draft.
It's nice weather outside.
It is nice. It's not testing the tornado sirens.
It's not a tornado.
This is our mock draft sounder. And where are we going today?
The man who's in studio. We're going to Jay Binkley, also Chris
Unocero. Oh,
about damn time.
Well, hold on, Bink.
You guys just put out the new mock on Monday, didn't you?
No, it yesterday. But that's disrespect. Blatant disrespect. Pro golfer.
Bink, we did your first mock draft. We are following up with 2.0. Right.
So too much blue chew.
So this is not 1.5.
This is 2.0.
This is 2.0. Okay.
From Bink.
We've done the full NFL 1.0. So we've actually done three of them.
Oh.
And we'll get to about 4 to 5.0 by the time this is all done. We have a draft special tomorrow night.
That's right. Round one.
Round one.
Pick 31. You guys have the Chiefs taking
Luther Burden.
Luther Burden.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Luther. If you watch any game films, there's certain guys that just stand out, man. I mean, he's a guy when you watch, best slot receiver in this draft. I love Steve Smith's breakdown of him. Steve Smith, I think, does one of the best jobs as a former receiver. He goes to the pro days and he knows about the position. Best slot receiver in the draft, in my opinion. McMillan's actually sliding, you know, to where the Chiefs are.
Why
too.
Do you think
he's
that
the
is?
Boundary. There's a lot of reasons.
Did he
take out all the plays off 2 years ago? Was he shut down in Colorado? There's a lot of reasons.
How much do you buy? Sorry to cut you off. How much do you buy? Like you mentioned how he, I say this because as you're saying it out loud, I'm like, what does this really mean? He said he's sliding down now. What has changed in the last week?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing's changed since the season. It is funny how guys go up and down. Now Travis Hunter's the betting favorite to go number two. Things happen and guys slide. The really people that matter are the people making the decisions, and they're not the ones putting out mocks. So it's basically a guessing game, unless you're in with the agents and stuff like that, like a Mel Kiper, where he may be hearing things here and there, which he usually does. But he was 16th last year in the actual mocking the mockers. But we went Burden. He just jumps out. If you watch him, it came to the decision, because Chris and I have talked about it. Like Derek Harmon's who I really like Cody. Mm-hmm. Plays that three technique, gets to the quarterback. There's a lot of things on the defensive line that you want. And it's an extremely, you know, talented defensive line draft. And we had a decision to make. Because obviously we went defensive line with Nick Skorton, the edge from A&M in our first mock.
What happened to him?
Well, he was taken, actually.
How many spots earlier do you think he went?
Actually, no, he wasn't. It was a Derek Harmon. I think it was two spots ahead he was taken. But Derek Harmon was still there, which I don't think he's going to be. I think that's a pipe dream. I think, you know, round 20, 21, 22 at the latest for Derek Harmon. But we went Burden, and then we went straight to Joshua Farmer, the defensive tackle from Florida State, in the next round. So we did fill those needs for the Chiefs. But here's the thing with Burden, and I've always been pro-offense with Mahomes because you have to be. He needs talent. And, you know, squeaking by in these one-score games that he had to deal with, I want to see the Chiefs get back to putting teams away. That St. Joe Chiefs that we saw last year, that everything on Twitter was, you know, long bombs to Hollywood Brown or Worthy or whatever – I want that team again. And here's the thing. You can't always count on healthy receivers. It's great. It's a pipe dream when you look, on paper they look good. On paper they look good last year until Hollywood Brown gets hurt on the first play in preseason against Jacksonville. Rashee Rice gets hurt in a tangled up thing with Mahomes against the Chargers. All of a sudden you're without your one and two receivers essentially for the year, and you're saying, hey, rookie, step up. Hey, rookie, he wasn't ready to step up. Xavier Worthy was ready to step up towards the end of the season. But what happens in that situation? Rashee Rice, when he gets slapped with a suspension, which is inevitably going to happen, then you're down one. If another guy gets hurt, then what are you doing? Justin Watson now with the Houston Texans. Give this team some ammo. I think Luther Burden's a long-term answer for the Chiefs. It's one of those guys that just pops out when you watch him.
What do they get in Joshua Farmer? Why do you like him? You have him round two, the pick 63 overall.
Defensive line. I mean, they definitely need defensive line help. He's a defensive lineman we've liked quite a bit throughout the you know, the mock draft process and looking at just a guy that I think fits nicely with what Spags likes to do, especially on the defensive line. And especially if you're going wide receiver at one, you better go back to defensive line at two because it's extremely, extremely deep class.
Yeah, I guess that's part of why, like, I understand the idea of, like, should we be doing first round guys at defensive tackle if there are a bunch of other ones available, but by all accounts, I don't know if you guys are looking at it the same way. not a good year for wide receiver, not a good year for corner. So, like, taking those guys in the first, if they're not first-round talents, Burton is one of the guys who are. That's why I can't.
Like, if Ajayi Barron, the cornerback from Texas, falls, okay. Savon Revelle is the guy we really like, too, from East Carolina. That's a possibility.
I might be wrong. I think everybody's way off on Burton in these mocks, and he's going to go, like, 17. There aren't enough good wide receivers, and there are a lot of teams who need a good wide receiver. I don't know why I'm not just buying it. I do not understand.
Well, Matt Miller likes
every
Max
got
him
25 to 45 in the NFL draft. It doesn't make any sense.
It is weird that he's, you know, from where he was in even October, Bank, when he was viewed as a top 15 pick, and now we're supposed to believe that he's going to fall into the middle.
He was considered the best receiver coming out. He's definitely the best slot in college football. Steve Smith likes him as a first round selection. Mel Kiper had him slide into the second.
Yeah.
But that is the player. If he is there, if the Chiefs will get conversations and calls, it's because of Burton. They're not going to get calls for a quarterback or teams wanting to trade back in at 31. Burton's the type of guy that people would pick up the phone and call about.
You mentioned you don't want the close games. You want them to blow out opponents. One of the ways to do that would be getting more explosive at running back. Do you have him taking a running back in your mock draft?
We had Dylan Sampson going in the third round, pick 66 in the first mock. This time we had to wait till the second pick in the third round, pick 95. Basil Tootin of Virginia Tech had over 6 yards of carry, 4.28 speed at the combine. The dude flat flies, and he's good in the return game as well. So obviously,
what's the question mark around him? Because the speed is incredible
on the return game. I mean, just maybe playing at Virginia Tech, not necessarily playing the spotlight, not playing in the playoffs, things like that.
I don't care about that running back.
I like
especially running back.
But he's a home run type guy. Like, they need that. And, you know, Pacheco should be that. He is a 4.37 guy at the combine, but he hasn't showed it. I mean, you have to show it on the field, what you do.
He does not look like a 4.37 guy when he plays.
Sampson I like better, though, honestly, than Tootin, because I like in between the tackles, third and one, fourth and one. Like a running back, you can stick out there and you don't have to pull him out. Three down back.
But is Andy, like, are they going to adopt that? I mean, they used to. I'm not saying they haven't under Andy Reid. It was a three down back when it was Kareem Hunt, his rookie season. I think when they first started rolling with Pacheco, he was a three down back and they use him that way. Are they going to keep going back to that? I just can't decide in this era of running backs are back in vogue a little bit, how these teams are going to handle. Cause a lot of teams are going two backs.
Well, Kareem Hunt can be used a lot like Samaje Perine was.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, because
I don't want him overused. That's for sure.
Cause Perine's down back with the Bengals. But if Hunt's that guy or the guy they trust on third and one or fourth and one, it depends. And obviously, the tush push, what the follow, what's going on right there. I think, as you and I talked about, Alex, I think the Chiefs would be in favor of it because they do use it, not on third and one and fourth and one, but they use it down the field. The
speed at running back is why Tootin's interesting, but
very, very fast.
You know, people have brought up on the text line and just did a quick little search around him or whatever. Andy Reid, we know you start fumbling the ball. You're in the doghouse and there's sometimes no getting out. Would that be a concern with this kid? Because that's drops and fumbles are listed as a concern for him.
That would be a concern, but what can you do at the pro level? I mean, a lot of these guys, it's the ego thing when they get them in camp and they
teach
coach
them the
that
five points of contact.
They have them carry a football around St. Joe.
Right.
Like, what is the program? Like, people are like trying to knock it out of his hand.
Tootin is a much mocked guy to the Chiefs.
Okay. What about a little bit later on? I know Brett Veach has
no
obviously
tackles.
Had
What's the
a,
deal?
You have another wide. You have another wide receiver on the coming off the board.
Yeah, I think they should go two. At least Kyle Williams is the guy. He played with Cam Ward actually at Washington State. Then Cam, of course, went to Miami. He stayed at Washington State, but Kyle Williams, a guy that's really starting to climb draft boards. I mean, there's a lot of like out there for a guy like Kyle Williams. But yeah, it's two receivers. You want some challenge. At the end of the day, do you really want Juju on the roster to begin the season? These are type of guys that could push him out if you go back-to-back or at least two wide receivers in this draft. We went tackle in seven, Dalton Cooper.
That's really late, though. Right?
Well, it is. Like it's very late. But
that's just a swing, total home run hope.
But, you know, he's one of those guys that, I mean, this is a project-type guy. Keep in mind, Jalen Moore spent years as a fifth-round pick. He was Sky Moore's teammate at Western Michigan, Jalen Moore, before the Chiefs brought him in. But he spent years as a backup. Dalton Cooper's interesting to me because he was at Texas State, started 36 games left tackle, transfers to Oklahoma State, started all but two games left tackle, played right tackle for a couple. He did come in for a Chiefs top 30 visit. So it is a guy that you can get late. And keep in mind, a lot of these top 30 visits are built upon guys
they don't know about, guys they haven't already decided about.
Well, sometimes. I mean, you go back last year and Kingsley came in for a top 30 visit.
Yeah.
Carson Steele came in for a top 30 visit, and obviously it was undrafted free agent, but they wanted to talk to him. They had questions for him. The year before that, Rashee Rice came in for a top 30 visit, drafted him. B.J. Thompson came in for a top 30 visit, and they ended up drafting him, but they don't draft many of them. There's not many of them. It's guys they may have questions about or later in the draft type of guys. It's rare that a guy like Kingsley in the second round take, or Rashee Rice, that they bring in for a top 30 visit.
I'm just wondering whether or not, and I just don't know, I don't want them to take tackle in the first round because I don't think the talent's there. I don't know if I want them taking them in the sixth. Give me a couple of names, Bink, we can keep an eye on in the third, who could still maybe play tackle at the NFL level, left or right, and could also compete against Kingsley Suamataia for left guard. That's what I want. I want a tackle who might be a guard and competes against Kingsley for playing time today, but could still be at right tackle maybe the following year.
Well, obviously, Booker from Alabama would be a first-round type talent if you went guard in the first round, which I don't think they're going to do, but it's a possibility.
Third round.
Milam is a guy.
Okay.
But there's a lot of questions on him, whether he'll still be a tackle. He's out at the West Virginia. A lot of high praise for him. Ursary is another interesting guy, and I'll talk about him.
I don't know where he's going to end up. I've seen him in the second couple of times.
He played extremely well at Minnesota. He's a Kansas City kid, too, by the way. Okay. He played at Ruskin High School, played for Minnesota. Donovan Jackson, but again, that's an Ohio State guy, not going there. Cameron Williams is interesting, the right tackle from Texas that they could probably get later on in the draft. That could be essentially a Juwan Taylor type of replacement in the future. Charles Grant's interesting, but he played at William & Mary, and that's an FCS school, but he's getting a lot of buzz in draft circles from what he did at the Senior Bowl and when he got a chance to play good competition. Logan Brown of your Jayhawks will be a guy maybe in the late rounds as well.
So those are a few other tackles to keep an eye on. We got Jay Binkley, one of our draft insiders, our draft insider here on Cody and Gold. The name that Drew brought up at wide receiver the other day for a late round pick, what do you make of this? Isaac Tesla. Are you familiar with Tesla's game?
I think he stinks. I barely know him.
He's at Arkansas Bink.
The
I
last name
Tesla
for the last
name, signs and everything
the last name brings us plenty of opportunity in the future.
He's just not a productive player.
He only had 546 yards last season. He was a community college guy or Division II guy for
Jack
a while.
Besh out of TCU.
Jack Besh.
He was the his brother played at was at Princeton. He was one of the people that died there on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
But Jack Besh at TCU. Jalen Royal's another one to watch out. Four as well for the Chiefs. Jalen Noel is interesting. He's getting a lot of buzz. Park
Somebody
Hill
said
kid.
They liked him better than they like Luther Burden.
Park Hill kid. Jaden Higgins has that size. He's 6'4", that played at Iowa State. But Iowa State had two of those guys because Jalen Noel is a Park Hill guy.
Yeah.
And he's getting a lot of buzz around the country as well. But there's a huge gap. And they even talked about that with Palmer and Steve Smith about the top four receivers. You know, when you're Golden, Igbuka, and Luther Burden and Teterola McMillan. A huge gap between that and then getting into the Trey Harris's, the Alec Almanors from Stanford, those type of guys, and Jaden Higgins, those kind of guys. Because there is a gap. There's a big gap. Second round, we might not see runs on receivers maybe till the end of the second, possibly the third.
Okay, something to keep in mind.
Last year we had seven, and that tied the record from 04.
I know we'll have you on before we're out. I know we'll have you on again before we're out at the landing, but what can people expect Thursday, April 24th, 2 weeks from tomorrow night at the landing? Christian Osero and yourself going to be anchoring our coverage from there.
Yeah, we'll have fun at the landing like we did last year. Everybody's there. It was 610 price package.
Right.
It's 965 right now.
Moving to the FM dials, helping everybody.
So you get a point. You know, if you get guys in the first round, you get more points if you have the correct team selecting the correct guy. Spectre has a lot of fun grading these things. That door is shut the next day as he goes into deep grade mode on these things. We had a lot of fun last year. A lot of inebriation towards the end of the night when the Chiefs made the trade with the Bills, which made a lot of fun. Who the hell traded up Buffalo? I mean, it was quite fun at the landing. Love to be back there. We'll do another draft special this coming Thursday. Mac McMullen from the Chiefs will be joining us. We had two mockers in last week's draft special. And then going forward the following week, we're doing the same thing. Chad Ryder, NFL.com, does a lot of mock drafts. Maybe hear from Drew on some of the sounders for Chad Ryder.
That's right. That's what I hear. Someone also said
Price Carter's coming in too.
Someone said they heard Drew enter the draft. He's going to pursue a kicking career in the league as well.
No, I will not be.
Any kickers getting drafted this year, Bink?
I thought I saw someone said they were taking a punter in the fourth round or something in some random mock.
What a waste. A punter?
Teams do it sometimes.
A punter?
Idiots.
A punter?
I swear. I saw it. I'm not making it up.
Is what's his name from Alabama draft eligible, Bink? The kicker from Bama? I forget his last name.
He's not a top five kicker. Borgalis from Miami is probably the best kicker in this draft.
Someone says they want the Chiefs to use
Ryan Fitzgerald from Florida State. Really high sought after as far as someone being kickers are concerned.
They want the Chiefs to use Mr. Relevant pick on Desmond Watson, the Florida defensive tackle that's 464 pounds. Just slug him in the middle like
that. Imagine
him wearing pads in St. Joe at 464 pounds.
Chris Jones would be playing the edge even if he was playing the second interior offensive line position.
I got in trouble when I used to broadcast high school football because there was a kid listed at 399. And that was well over four spins. 399 was being very nice. And I said they can run a four-man front with three guys. And his parents hated it.
They called
in to complain, about your Karens, those kind of people that call in. But 399. I said there's no way in hell this kid's 399 because they're running that four-man front with three guys. I love it.
Four-man front with three guys.
What? And if you're 400 pounds... Please wear a single digit, man.
I know you have that feeling. But could you imagine this guy from Florida up in St. Joe?
He's used to it. He's in Gainesville every summer.
I know. But I'm just imagining us doing our show and we see him walk down the hill. He's 464.
Probably taking a cart down the hill.
You're not allowed to as a player unless you're hurt.
Yeah, but
that cart's not gonna, that cart's not holding them.
I don't think the
that car's not holding you at 464.
Porta potty probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, you're walking down.
Is that where he's getting mocked at? Is he even going to get drafted, Bink?
I don't know, man.
Or is he in there?
Seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant. There are no bad picks.
You remember the porta potty drill they used to do? The Chiefs.
Well, that's a long time ago.
I know. I think it was Bieniemy, wasn't it? With the running backs?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's been 6-7 years probably.
It was a great drill.
Maybe.
You ever use a porta potty drill?
Yes, I've used a porta.
Better get used to it during qualifying. There's no bathroom breaks, buddy. Get locked in during qualifying.
I'm used to finding a spot in the woods.
In the woods. That's an offense.
Well, I'm used to doing that in tournaments. That was back, I guess, when it was okay to do so.
That's illegal, man. You'll find yourself not allowed near a school.
Oh, jeez. Thank you, Bank, for coming in studio.
Thanks, guys.
My goodness. You're filling in for CDOT, though, today, right?
Yeah,
CDOT's still under
the
weather. Okay.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of basketball talk.
Yes, CDOT is unfortunately out again today. He's dealing with some cold or something, so Bink will once again be in at 2 o'clock. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll react a little bit to what...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going
So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Think had to say next.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals back in action tonight. Seth Lugo gets the nod. 6:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show is at 5:30 as the Royals try to get their fourth win in a row and get another one against the Minnesota Twins this evening right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, you mentioned the Royals, which is good, but Xavier Worthy and his ex-fiance make an agreement to drop both cases against each other in some of the comments to TMZ. She made it seem like her lawyers were misleading in some of the comments outside of there, but either way, they've decided to wash this thing in an agreement that essentially dropped cases on both sides, and it appears it's in to bed now. Like, the way I would view this is the NFL has no real reason to get involved. This never really developed into anything at all, truthfully, and now the entire thing is being dropped. So I guess, I thought there was a stretch. Right after this happened, I'm like, boy, we're going to have to worry about suspensions for two different players over the next few years. But now that all the details have come out and where we are in the case, obviously nothing's going to happen to Xavier Worthy.
Elsewhere, Dwight Howard, an 8-time NBA All-Star, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame inductee this year, as a matter of fact, he announced he will be joining the Big Three for his final season of professional basketball. He'll play for the Los Angeles Riot in 2025 as he looks to close out his pro career.
I followed the Big Three. They named their team the LA Riot?
They did.
In a weird way, kind of a badass name.
They did. They will be one
but
of
also
eight.
Like, yeah.
They will be one of eight city-based teams in 2025, joining Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Detroit, Houston, Miami, and the DMV area.
Okay. Next up on What's Trending, Tech Star for JT Toppin, the Big 12 Player of the Year. He's announced on Wednesday he'll return to the Red Raiders for his junior season. Most people think that he would have been a late first, second round pick or whatever. He is likely to be top 10 nationally for odds of a national player of the year.
His NIL number is $4 million, I believe, for this year. That's a
Hunter Dickinson after
amount.
Said those numbers are lies. Yeah. I'm sure after he got kind of some criticism. He averaged 18.2, 9.4 rebounds last season. So they'll be a top 10 favorite to win the title again next year?
Could be.
They're going to be a huge bear in the Big 12.
Yeah, could be the case. There's no doubt about that. Thinking of college basketball, I don't get into the recruiting ranking stuff very often, but Kansas's signee Darren Peterson is now the new number one player in the 2025 class.
He joins
a KU club that includes Andrew Wiggins, as KU recruits that were the number one rated player in their respective class.
Wiggins has turned into a nice NBA player.
He has. Yeah, no doubt about that. But just saw that come across in the last, 35 minutes or so.
Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget our NFL draft party. Just heard Bink. It'll be coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, April 24th, for the first round of the NFL draft. Your chance to win $965 if you come join us at the Landing in Liberty. It is typically a very popular event. I would suggest getting your table early, but it's typically a very popular event. The entire station and all of its hosts will be out there. Chris Uno, Sarah, and Jay Binkley will be broadcasting live with more draft content as well.
There you go.
It's a great event. 3 years in a row, right?
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. We enjoy doing it. And it's going to be a packed house. I can promise you that. It's always had a great turnout, and we're looking forward to seeing all of you for that.
You're going to react to Bink first, or are you going to tell us all these details we need to know about Drew's golf tournament?
Yeah, we can react.
You know more than I do, evidently.
We can react to what Bink had to say. His latest mock, also him and Christian Ocero, by the way. Have him going Luther Burden at 31.
That's a lot of fun.
If the Chiefs are on the clock at 31 and Burden's available, given Obviously, plenty of Missouri fans are Chiefs fans as well.
It's going to be the fan
that,
pick.
That'll be the pick that every fan wants. And if they don't draft him, fans are going to be upset.
Like, especially if he's good.
We just know that. Yeah, for sure. I think it's I'm with you, though, that I still don't believe he's going to be there at 31 to begin with. For a player that once was viewed as a top 10 or top 15 pick. And look, players slide all the time, but it's just kind of weird. I'll actually lean with what Matt Miller said as well when he joined us, that he still thinks he's the best wide receiver available. And if the drop off that Bink is talking about is true after McMillan and Burden and Golden in that group, if that's a huge drop after that, then Burden's not going to, if there, everybody agrees there's a huge drop after Burden, why is Burden going to slide to 31?
I just think everyone's wrong on this one. I just think that this is the player that most of these people running these mock drafts are wrong about. Matt Miller came on the show and he said he thinks he is the number one most talented receiver in the entire draft, which means there is another NFL team who must also think that they like them even better than the guys who are going to go top 10 or top 15. There's only really one that are going to go higher than Luther Burden. And if that's the case, he will never, and I mean never, make it to 31. The cost of wide receiver in the free agency market and in the re-sign market is astronomical. It's $40 million a year now for a top-end wide receiver. And with those prices, for a guy you can pay $2 million a year to, Burden ain't making it to 31. If he did, I'd love the pick. Love the pick.
There's
I
also
like the
part
player.
Of, is there
I
a
like
part
the
of
pick.
You?
I think it'd be fun to have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and Luther Burden on the same team together at the same time, and then you don't have to worry about finding a pass, catching tight end, and all this other stuff.
My only question with any of these guys, like all of a sudden, if he fell to 31, then you start to wonder, okay, what are we missing here? Like, not that it means that everybody else is right, but it always get you start thinking that way. If he's at 31, you're like, what are we missing here? There's a reason why he fell. Why is he falling at that point? Is he the player that you think he actually is? You'll start to get that thought from the outside a little bit. And then I hear Bink's point on Burden, which is, you never know who's going to get hurt. You never know what suspensions could come up. But is Luther Burden all that different than what they have in the room?
You know, this is tough because when you talk about it's different. I think you can move around Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice to make Luther Burden work. I know you're going to be like, well, Luther Burden's a great slot receiver.
Him and Rice are similar, somewhat similar.
Rashee Rice works, but I just think you can put one of those guys. I just think you move them around.
Yeah,
you do four wide, you run them on opposite sides of the slot. And I do think that you need one more talented offensive player to eventually draft past Travis Kelce. And logically, you're like, we'll just get another tight end. A lot harder to find a really good offensive tight end. The idea that you could, and I just love the idea of pairing up Patrick Mahomes with three first-round talents at wide receiver. Because, like, in retrospect, Rashee Rice would have gone in the first round if they redrafted. Xavier Worthy would still go in the first round if redrafted. And if all of a sudden Luther Burden's there too, damn, that's some talent. Let them duel to the death about which ones get the contracts eventually. But, like, for a few years, you could be paying nothing at wide receiver and be a truly explosive offense. I guess the only difference is, like, Worthy becomes your true speed guy. He's one of the fastest guys in the NFL. I don't think that seems like all that bad of an idea. Like, I like the idea. I do not think he'll be there.
Yeah,
I do not think he'll be there. And I don't mind taking defensive tackle later, second, third, fourth round, because there's a million guys at that spot.
Yeah, so if you missed it, Character Concerns, their new mock draft is out. You can check out their podcast. They also have a draft special tomorrow night. Bank and Chris Unocero right here on 96.5 The Fan. If you've missed any bit of the show today, it's been a show that we did not
natural
plan.
Natural transition.
Did not plan to discuss golf as much as we did. We were going to talk about the Masters already. Masters are tomorrow. We're excited about that. First
Colton
major of
the
year.
Colton, I like Morikawa to win, maybe.
Yeah, so it's fun, right? The most casual golf people watch the Masters, and it's a lot of fun. We'll have leaderboard updates starting tomorrow on the show. And in the bullpen, which is our area we call, we kind of hang out in before the show. We go over some show stuff, and we call it the bullpen. And so we usually are shooting the you-know-what before the show. And we were talking about Augusta, and Drew said that he would break 100 at Augusta, even from the tournament tees. And Dusty came out, and Dusty's like, no, you wouldn't. And everybody goes back and forth. And our boss, Spec, said, oh, yeah, I'd do it as well. And we're like, you got to be kidding me. So that's how it started. Then we get on the show, and as we had this conversation, and Drew's very confident. By the way, Drew is a good golfer. This is not like, oh, he's just
like. It's not like back Drew. He's not a 25 handicap.
No, Drew is a good golfer. but we still think he might be a little overconfident about the Augusta point. So
I'm sure I am.
I still don't think there's any way you're breaking 100 Augusta.
So
anyway,
while discussing that,
a listener texted in and said, hey, I run the Korn Ferry Tour qualifier. Of course, the Korn Ferry tournament will be in Kansas City in May. I think it's the Advent Health Championship at Blue Hills Country Club. And the gentleman texted and said, hey, I think I might be able to get him in the qualifier. So we're going to find out after the show. So now Drew is taking, now everything's taken a whole nother level to the conversation. Drew's talking about flying in his brother, the caddy, even though Cody wanted to be the caddy. I might have to get Dana Wright to, we're going to do some broadcast of this on social media. We got to figure out what the rules are and everything. But Drew, you might be in a qualifier for the Korn Ferry Tour.
I think it's very exciting.
Month from Monday or Friday, whatever that would be.
I think that the expectation would be to just not finish last.
I don't think you'll finish last.
I think it'd be impressive if you didn't finish last, honestly.
I think this is a valid question that I might need to find out just in terms of preparation if this actually goes through.
The deadline to enter is May 7th. If you are not a member, which you're not, PGA Tour member, it's $100. Non-members, $500. We'll figure out the entry fee. Not worried about it. We'll get that figured out one way or the other.
Maybe they can get us the member
top
price.
Top four qualifiers from each site are exempt into the actual Advent Health Open.
Which, again, I am
players
not
will
close.
Be split. Drew, you're going to be playing at Fred Arbanis Golf Course if we get you into this.
Okay.
Or Falcon Lakes Golf Club.
Okay.
You will not know until like 3 days before which course you're playing at for qualifying.
I think this is a valid question from the 913. Drew, do you know if they can use, if you use a range finder?
So.
On the Korn Ferry Tour, I would say no.
However, in
the qualifier.
There's cell phone rules too. I just read a whole document about it.
Probably for the same reason. You can just use them as a range finder.
So on the Korn Ferry Tour, there's no question that you can't use it. I'm almost sure of that.
Yeah, you can't pull out the Bushnell and just be like, I got it.
Even though they are looking to implement potentially using those things in PGA Tour sanctioned events.
Interesting.
But anyways, the qualifier, I'm interested in that because I do have a range finder.
I doubt you can use it.
We'll get out there ahead.
If I can't
I'm going to have
it,
my notebook.
Then
I'll get yardage.
We're going to walk this course, all right? We're going to walk this course. It says the use of cell phones and other cellular devices is typically prohibited from tournament regulations. However, for open qualifying, limited cellular device use is allowed. The following are allowed. Checking the leaderboard in the tournament. Accessing tournament notice, calling rules committee, using as a standard compass for directional information without additional features, or getting any type of weather information, including wind speed, measuring temperature and humidity. You cannot use it to get distance information by using an electronic distance measuring device. There's our answer. That's a no.
Okay.
That's a no on
so
that.
No rangefinder, but
you
I'll
cannot
get out there with
the
notebook. You
cannot use your phone to give or receive advice on choosing a club, increasing the size of putting green, all that kind of stuff.
If I took notes on the yardage from different points of your potential drive thing, would your brother use my notes, even if I get kicked off his caddy? You're going to want those.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
you're not going to have a rangefinder. You're going to want to know when I said it was 100. Because we can use the rangefinder in practice rounds.
I was going to say, without a doubt, he would use the yardage book. You know,
I'm going to have to get notes to broadcast this thing.
I'll get the yardage book ready. I'll get you some.
The boss said we can take off the show that day if he qualifies. But we will do social media coverage.
We would do social media. Alex would do maybe a full broadcast. We'd figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'd do some stuff. And we're trying to figure out if you can have a gallery.
Yeah, we don't know if listeners would be allowed to watch the qualifying or not. Because multiple people said they would just want to follow Drew around on the course, which would be, it'd be incredible. It would be incredible.
I will say this. I'm 100% or 1,000% coming to watch.
I'm not saying this, but if for whatever reason, let's say, yes, it works out.
We get you on the qualifier.
And I play. Uh-huh. And there's a moment where Cody's like, yeah, you're sitting up at 160 yards away. It's like, I don't know if it's 160. You're like, no, I don't know if it's 160.
Yeah, don't listen to Cody. And that's
If I shot it at one point, I don't know why you wouldn't trust me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I mark it and I like fly the green or something like that.
It's good content. I'll give you that.
I interviewed Drew mid-round. Like, tell us what happened. Well, my caddy was full of bleep. He thought it was 160. He actually wrote down 130. I meant 130.
I just wanted down on
bad
the,
writing. Sorry.
I want it down on the record that I do not get blamed. The blame will be shared in this situation.
Well, if I give you advice and you take, if I say it's 160 out and you hit it, you know what 160 is for you. You're a good enough golfer. You know if you've hit something about 160.
I'm curious if
someone says Falcon Lakes. Their parents live on Falcon Lakes. They're a member. They said we can help you get on there.
We're gonna need your parents to get Drew and I on the course so we can start scouting a little bit. And then Arbanis, if somebody's got some hookup there, we're gonna need that too.
Because it is an actual qualifier event, I wonder if they give you some sort of not yardage book, but they give you some sort of layout of the holes. Like they give you a map of all the holes.
Yeah, so you can go actually like freehand sketching. You can go online right now, and I can tournament tees, blacks at Falcon Lakes, hole one, 511 yards.
I'm talking like
the diagram,
the actual layout of the hole itself.
Yeah, that's on there.
That's on there as well.
That's on there. We'll probably tell you tee location.
It's got all kinds of stuff.
Perfect. Yeah, because pin locations are, you know, they might be different.
It's going to vary depending on how many days.
The six or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, I can't wait. Horse tour, hole by
yeah, hole by hole. I got all the 18 for you.
I've watched the YouTube video of the course tour on.
I have a call with someone at 2:00. I will give everyone an update tomorrow. We are trying to get Drew in this tournament. This all started because he said he could shoot 100 at the Masters in Masters conditions from the professional tees. We said no way, and I said a good litmus test of where your game is getting you in a professional tournament. So the Korn Ferry, I mentioned just get him in the actual Korn Ferry tournament. I don't think I meant that. But the qualifying event's coming up on May 12th, and we think we might be able to get him in that.
Again, so. I might be able to be in it, but there is no way, there is no chance. You could give me 100 chances. Right now, I would not be good enough to make the Korn Ferry Tour. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
I am not that level of golfer, and I don't think I ever will be. To qualify for a
breaking 100 at Augusta.
I like that it said, if a spectator just does the rangefinder and yells out the distances?
Can't do that.
Can't just do that. One guy in the crowd, Drew, being like, 170! Just yelling it.
Someone says you got to make the golf thing bettable. That's also in the rules as well. There's no betting on. If we get Drew in the qualifier, we're not allowed to joke about the betting of the round.
Somebody said
on
they
the
put
show.
Down $100. I was like, if I did qualify, won't be able to do that.
You guys have to do that amongst yourselves. We have nothing to do with it. Drew's got nothing to do with it.
We will not be allowed to talk about the betting during even the qualifying. Unfortunately, that's a no-no.
Otherwise, yeah, we'd hit up one of our betting partners and I'd get it on one of the websites.
I believe, Cody, you also looked up the actual yardage. Like, are they, like, what tees are they using?
I thought it was a little bit shorter, but it looks like it's going to be closer to like
60.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer
to 7,000. I think it's 67.
I think it's going to be closer to 7, but I don't know if that's exact range. I'll get that answer today.
Okay.
Someone says people qualifying for the event shooting low 60s. He knows.
Exactly. Drew knows. Exactly. That's why I'm not qualifying. I'm well
but
aware.
Maybe it's just your best day, man.
I'm well aware. Maybe
just dialed in.
My month. You said if we gave you a month to break 100 at Augusta, or giving you a month to qualify for Korn Ferry.
Actually, I'm giving him a month to break 75. I feel like if he breaks 75, I'm going to be blown away.
I have a better chance.
If you get to 7, if you shoot a 76, even at
he
this
he breaks
thing,
80. Yeah. I'm going to be impressed.
I have a better chance of shooting under 100 at Augusta than qualifying for the Korn Ferry Tour.
I agree. I think neither are happening.
I think both are zero. But sure.
But you. You said we would not be able to prove anything until you got a chance to do something. So here
correct.
We are.
Correct. You guys are never going to know if I can break 100.
But we're going to get a rough
idea. I think I will know that if you shoot an 87 at the Korn Ferry qualifier at Falcon Lakes.
Okay. If you shoot an 88 or 87 at this thing, then you can't tell us you're breaking 100 at Augusta. That's
agreed.
All.
I would say
but
so.
I'm
well.
Rooting for you. Cody,
I am too.
Cody and I are going to be big supporters. You think we're giving you a hard time, but when the day comes that you're on the qualifying, whatever you need that day, you know? Whatever you need. All right, we'll give you guys an update tomorrow. Although Drew is out tomorrow because he's already starting his training. He's going
training
golfing tomorrow. At
a
different
Royals
course.
Day game.
We have a Royals Day game. Drew's going golfing.
JT's going to fill in with the Augusta National updates for you. So hopefully he does it correctly.
That's right. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. The Drive with Bink and Rob coming up next.